Back in my day, you know, I'm gonna sound like an old man here.
Drawing was my coping mechanism. I did know that I had the passion and the drive to figure out how to do this.
So are aliens real or not real?
Well,
coincidence?
I think not.
Welcome to Talk It Comics. Before we dive into like your comic book and stuff, you know, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Okay, so my name is Ronald Martin, aka Ronnie Creates. I'm a comic book artist, writer, founder of my publishing company, Radical Comics, and I'm based in Montgomery, Alabama, right now. I was also, born and raised here as well.
Okay, but, I was about to ask. You say right now. I didn't know what that was. What were you going with that?
Yeah, reason why I say that is because the other half of my life I lived in Georgia, so I lived in the Clayton County area.
Okay. City is that near Clayton County?
Clayton County is like near, it's like metro Atlanta, like it's on the outskirts. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I know southern Georgia, like Brunswick area. I spend a lot of time there, but not. Okay. I've been to Atlanta a couple times, but not spent a whole lot of time there.
Gotcha.
Well, okay. Cool. So, and you're in school?
I'm not in school right now. I'm actually taking a break. I'm working. I work at a art museum. So that's where
cool.
I'm at.
Cool. What kind of art? Just all kinds or?
It's all kinds. Like your traditional art museum. They have you might have some art from local artists, but the Montgomery Museum of Fine Arts, it houses Alabama artists. Older pieces and different things like that. They basically have, we just had a show recently. It's really cool. But,
what's the most famous piece of art they have?
It's a famous piece. Oof. I couldn't tell you.
All right. So what's your favorite piece of art that they have?
Actually, there's in the new exhibit, a friend of mine, Winford Hawkins, has a really cool piece. He does these pieces with these, it's like wooden panels, and he paints over the wooden panels. And he also has he does digital work too. So he makes these really cool, big, blown up stickers with his digital work, puts the sticker on top of the piece of wood that's painted. And it's a very cool graffiti type of work, but it's very unique and it really stands out.
That's really cool. Yeah. So you created your own comic book and comic book character. Tell us about that.
Yeah, so I've created two comic book characters, but my first character is my character behind me that's all over my wall plastered. This is my character All-Star Fiddle Focus. I created him when I was in high school. I actually have some old drawings on my wall, too. It's one of the old concepts for the character. I don't know if you can see that. But I created the character 2020, and I was around, I can't remember what grade I was in, but I was in high school, like I said, and I basically had the character, the idea of the character, the name of the character, when I was in middle school, because I used to wear Converse all the time, like All-Star Converse, right? And I was like, that'd be a cool name for a character, All-Star. And I'd never really heard or seen a character with that name before. So I was like, let me play around with it. And I eventually came up with, the idea of him having the power of the stars and different things like that, because his name is All-Star. So I was like, what if he had the power of all the stars? That'd be pretty cool. So I kind of went with that. And I was also looking at what was going on at the time. So I kind of, in order to make an iconic hero, I looked at all of the early versions of certain characters like Superman, Captain America. And I was like, okay, maybe if I play off of that formula that they, were created by, Jerry Siegel and Joe Shuster, they created Superman and they kind of made this champion of the oppressed or whatever. And so they made this character that would, do a whole bunch of stuff. And I was like, that's very interesting. And looking at the time, in 2020, it was a lot of stuff going on with policing in America and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like I have this rare opportunity to not only reflect what's going on around me, but to make a story that I hadn't seen before. So I put all this stuff into it. You know, I made them red and blue. And I was like, you know what? I feel like, you know, red and blue is kind of played out. But at the same time, like, this is my character. I can make a character that's red and blue. And, you know, it kind of just shows, like, you know, anybody can wear those colors, you know. So with my character being African-American, I put emphasis on him being, you know, American as well. So I, you know, gave him the red and blue, and his powers come from the stars because his name is All-Star. But the crystal that's in the center of his chest is what gives him this connection to all of the stars. And so the crystal is actually a cosmic crystal that's created by this cosmic deity. And it was given to him after the death of his son. And it kind of ties into the whole subject matter that I was talking about in regards to, you know, policing in America. So his son was tragically killed by a cop. And in this story, I wanted to kind of flip the whole narrative on its head. You know, usually, you know, your Spider-Mans, your Batmans, their loved ones were killed by, you know, a mugger or whatever, a common criminal. But what would that look like if somebody who's, you know, for all intents and purposes, a hero, or somebody that's supposed to, you know, protect and serve, which was, that is actually the title of my first graphic novel. That's my first book, is All-Star Book One, Protect and Serve. So it's kind of like, you know, flipping the narrative on its head, like, okay, this cop kills his son. What now? You know, so it has a lot of, clearly a lot of political undertones. But I, with the story, I want to show the politics behind it, but also dive into the fantastical in the story as well, because his powers are cosmic. So you have elements of him being a street level hero, but he's going to be facing other things too that aren't just, you know, political, like, you know, corrupt cops. He'll be facing, you know, aliens from space, you know, because his powers are cosmic. So he's like, he's just a guy who wants justice, you know, and he's trying to navigate the world with his powers. And they come to find out there's, you know, beings that know more about his powers than he does. And now he's got to deal with, you know, conflict on Earth and then looming threats. So,
and the death of his son.
Yeah. And the death of his son too. Yeah. He's a grieving father. So it's like, all of this is like, you know, it's kind of making this narrative. And I was like, I could really do a lot with this. So,
yeah. I mean, that's I don't know. I mean, I haven't read it, so I don't know, but, like, you know, it could be a huge redemption story, you know, like,
yeah,
or forgiveness story. I don't know. Like,
exactly.
I don't know which way you went with it. So.
Yeah. And that's another thing. Like, a lot of people, I'll say this, like, you know, now, and, you know, in today's times, you know, a lot of people they're, you know, a lot of people that are, you know, people of color, whoever, they, you know, they see a lot of things that are going on and the injustices, and it's like, okay, they want, I feel like superheroes are a way to kind of, they are a way to escape, but in other ways, they give people hope, you know? So, you know, my character kind of gives like a weird cathartic feeling of like hope, you know, where it's like, wow, like you walk away with it, you know, feeling less gloomy than you did watching the news. And then I feel like I've done something. So, you know, in the story, I am going to touch on that, whether or not he gets vengeance or justice, because then that begs the question, would he be a hero if he was to, you know, get vengeance? And, you know, you see a lot of cool stories like, you know, Batman, like chasing down Joe Chill. And it's like, all right, you know, you killed my parents. But it's like, OK, you know, Batman has a no kill rule. So what is he going to do? You know, so that's kind of like, that's kind of the whole. You know, so that's something I want to do. But I'm also aware of the fact that, you know, that initial feeling that people feel when reading the story and they're like, ah, killed his kid. OK, so what is he going to do? Some people want to see him enact that vengeance. So it's like, what type of story am I going to tell? People don't know yet, but I do. I know what I'm going to tell.
You know what you're going to. Okay, so it's not out yet. So, like, with that, yeah, part of the story has not been released.
That part of the story isn't out yet. That's okay. So right now, I'll tell you, I have. So my first release was the graphic novel. that was basically an 80 pager that I wrote and illustrated myself, colors, inks, text bubbles, panels, did everything myself. And then I released after that a book two, which was basically another, you know, bigger book. But then after book two, I decided, you know what? I want to make smaller issues because I feel like, you know, my first releases were bigger books and they were pretty pricey. So I was like, okay, I'm gonna do smaller issues. So I ended up getting my graphic novel, the first one, and then I split it up into issue zero. And in issue zero is basically book one, but just with more lore. And it's issue zero, which is part of the graphic novel, and then issue one, which is the other half of the first graphic novel. So it's basically the graphic novel split into two. So I have issue zero and issue one. And then I'm going to be dropping issue two pretty soon, which is basically book two, but it's smaller issues. And then I'm also penciling right now. I'm pretty close to finishing issue three. So all of that is coming right now. So what I was describing to you about
it's all coming. I love it. So we've covered like your stories and stuff and the characters. So let's go into what made you want to start drawing it and illustrating it and writing it, doing everything yourself. Like what got you into that?
So I've been doing it since I was a kid, you know? Okay. So like it's always been in me. It's always been something I've been passionate about. Like, I don't see myself doing anything else. Like, this is what I've been passionate about since I was a kid. You know, I used to, you know, I grew up watching the early Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. That was my first exposure to superheroes. I was like, you know, Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies came out. And early 2000s, I was like a kid, you know, when those movies came out. And that was like my exposure to superheroes or the genre as a whole. And I could read, you know, but I knew what this was, you know, so, you know, so that's kind of what got me into, you know, comics. And then I realized, oh, these characters come from actual books. And then I started watching some of the Justice League cartoons and stuff like that, like the Bruce Timm verse, you know, with, you know, the Batman, the animated series and all these, you know, characters. And I was like, wow. So all of this amazing storytelling encouraged me to want to, you know, do art. So I started doing comics a little later in high school, but I've always been drawing, like, you know, characters. Like as a kid, I had like a binder full of, you know, drawings and stuff like that. And I would say, like, when I was a kid, drawing was my coping mechanism. Like, I did not talk to a lot of people. And so I would draw in order to kind of deal with, you know, that social anxiety. And then I would kind of, you know, go off into a corner somewhere and draw. And I was always that artsy kid that everybody knew. And then that's how I made my friends, because everybody knew I, you know, did art, you know. So that's kind of how it started with me.
I've watched my youngest go through the same, from the movie to comic transition, you know. Mm-hmm. These came from books. This is, There's so much more to just the movies. And you know, exactly. Now I have boxes and boxes and boxes of books over here of comics, so it's fine. You know, so when did you said you started in 2020 with All-Star, right?
Yes. So with All-Star, that's how I started with 2020.
Mm-hmm. How long of a process was it for you to write, draw, ink, color, everything for book one?
So book one, it was a learning process for me and lots of learning curves. I didn't finish book one up until like the beginning of 2022. It took me 3 years
to seems to be, I ask a lot of people that, they seem to, you know, 3,000 hours, you know, 2,000 hours, you know, it's like, you know, there's hundreds and hundreds of hours. I mean, thousands of hours in doing this stuff. It's a lot of work. It's not something you're going to sit down today and come out with one next week. How Marvel and DC do it, I don't know, but
well, they have teams.
Teams, you know, of people.
Good. Yeah. So that's another reason why I try not to be so hard on myself as far as like producing, because, you know, either, you know, when I started, I knew that I wasn't at that level of mastery. And I also knew, like, I'm one person, but I did. But what I did know is that I had the passion and the drive to figure out how to do this. And so I just relied on that to kind of be my crutch. And I've had moments of like wanting to give up and, you know, maybe I should hire somebody to do this. But I'm like, no, I think if anybody's going to tell my story, it should be me. So I just get with it. And I learned how to do panel work and all of those different things over the course of those 3 years. And after I learned how to do it and, you know, master my style, after that, like making books is pretty, it's pretty easy now. Or, you know, as easy as I can get it right now. I mean, it could be easier, but I'd say probably the hardest part is it was a publishing, like learning how to, you know, get the right formatting for your books and printing and all that stuff, figuring that stuff out. The art was, it was challenging, but it was fun. It was enjoyable because that's what I, that's what comes natural to me. So yeah, that was my journey, like making my first comic.
You have to learn the bleeds and the, yeah, the publishing's the hard. I've done a lot of publishing in my life with book, with not comics, but with books. And it's, yeah, it's same thing. You got to have the layout and learning that process. I did that whole thing back in 2007. It was a long process.
It was pretty annoying for me because I would get the book and it would be like, you know, why is my book, why do I have a mini book? Why is the character's face cut off right here? Like, there's just a lot going on, you know?
It's a learning process. You know, get your reps in. That's what they say. So what's your like rituals or habits, or like when you sit down to draw, like what do you have to have? What's your must haves? Or do you draw digitally? Is it pen and paper? Yeah.
On my iPad.
Okay. Spider-Man cover. Love it. Yep.
But I do it all on my iPad with my Apple Pencil. And sometimes I'll just sketch on regular paper just to get, you know, the creative juices flowing. And, you know, if I have a really good drawing, I'll be like, you know what? I think I would transfer it into Procreate because I use Procreate. And then I just do like the inking and the coloring over that. Or I'll just work in the software. If I already have a project I'm working on, I kind of just dive right into it. The way that I work is like I don't really write scripts that much. I might have, like, you know, jotted down notes of like the specific scene, but it's not a full-on script. I kind of just like, because I see it all in my head like a movie, like the way that I play out certain scenes, I know what angles I want the characters to be in, and if I don't like it, I could just, you know, start over. Like, it's a quick sketch isn't hard for me because I've mastered like gestural sketches and stuff like that. But for the most part, it's kind of just like I see it all in my head like a movie. I position my characters like I'm the director and they're the actors in my story, you know, and I kind of just go at it till I get it how I like it.
That's pretty cool. What's the big other? So would you say publishing was your biggest challenge or anything else?
Yeah, publishing was my biggest challenge. That was very challenging because I didn't really know much about it. Having to do my thorough research on it. But learned how to do it, I got over that hump and it was fairly easy to do now. Like, making a book is not hard, you know, just, you know, getting it to the print. And now I have a website. So I just, you know, people can, you know, do print on demand and, you know, purchase it from my website. So
yeah, print on demand has changed the industry for sure, which is nice. It costs cutting for sure. Because it's back in my day, you know, I'm going to sound like an old man here. Back in my day, I was printing and binding books myself.
Oh, and, my God.
Ooh. You know, would have boxes and boxes of just books. That was I was my own print on demand, but I'd print a bunch. But it made it easier because I was doing it all myself. But then, you know, because I couldn't afford to order 500 or 5,000 copies of the book, you know. And then now it's, I don't have to have any inventory. It's all print on demand.
Yeah. And you can always do Kickstarter too. Kickstarter. That was a whole nother process. That for my first book, I did Kickstarter that wasn't successful. So after that, I was like, oh, like I felt so defeated. But then after, I was like, I'm going to do another one. I made my goal.
Awesome.
But I still made it. And I was able to get the books out to people. And I can do Kickstarters. I don't like to do them because they make me anxious. But yeah, that was one of the, you know, challenges I had to, you know, take on.
It's hard to market those, and, you know.
Yeah.
It's hard. One day we'll get there, you know, but. Yeah. So what was, like, what creators or artists, like, influenced you? Like, is there anybody?
I really like Frank Miller. Frank Miller's work and his iconography with, like especially because I love, now, obviously, I love comics for the sake of, like, making comics, but I think it's really cool how his artwork is very cinematic and how it translated to so many film adaptations. I just thought that was just so cool. Like, literally, people could look at his work and they, you know, beat for beat. It's like a storyboard, you know, for a film. His work on, like, Sin City, like, that book was pretty cool. His work on Daredevil, the Daredevil Born Again, and all that stuff is just really cool. And Dark Knight Returns, like, all of that stuff is just really sick. And I was like, I want to do something like that. He was the reason why I even decided to make a graphic novel in the first place. Like, Frank Miller.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's cool. So it was because of, that's pretty cool. Yeah. And did you have your character before that or no?
I had the character before that. But I was still kind of like figuring him out and his motivations and different things like that. But like I said, 2020, that's when I was like, I was set. Like, this is what I want the character to take on and what I want him to be, what I want him to represent. So after that, I was like, yeah, I want to do like this epic graphic novel that kind of has like this, you know, cinematic feel, you know, when you read it. Still a comic book, but I really wanted my story to be immersive when people, you know, read it, you know, like almost as if the characters are like right in front of you. You know, I really like that. I say another creator that I really like is, what's his name? I like Brian Hitch, like his art style. Brian Hitch has like, it's comic book art style, but it's, has like this realism look to it. He's really great with like doing shadowing and stuff with his art. And I loved his work on The Ultimates. Now, I don't like The Ultimates as a story, but I love the artwork in The Ultimates because, I don't know, I just have I really like artwork that kind of has like a cinematic feel, even though it's not photorealistic. Like, another thing, like with Samuel L. Jackson being Nick Fury, like that whole thing came from Brian Hitch's work, like illustrating him like as Nick Fury. Like, I really liked that. And I was like, that's pretty cool. So if I could do something similar with my work, then, you know, I like to do that. So that's one of the creators that I like, his art style. Todd McFarlane. I love Todd McFarlane stuff.
Spawn.
Yeah, right? Spawn. Yeah. Right off the rip, Spawn. And then also what they were able to do with Image. Like, that's one of my biggest, like, inspirations for my publishing company, Radical Comics. I wanted to do something like that. I do know that, you know, all of those artists and the talent behind Image, they had their, they worked for the man. Like, they worked for Marvel and DC, you know? So they all kind of had that, you know, that advantage in their name out there, you know, working for, you know, those publishers. But when they all took that talent and then they, you know, brought it in-house with Image and made this like really, you know, cool thing. I was like, I want to do something like that, but I want to find talent too. And maybe I could do something like that with some other creators, not on the same scale, of course, but if I could at least get half of what they were able to do, that would be awesome. So, and then also have full creative control over my work. I would love to, you know, do something like that. That was my frame of mind when I was, you know, making, you know, my comics and my publishing company at the time. But yeah, Todd is really cool and what he's been able to do with his character and his IP. So
the Spawn, like the Deadly Tales of the Gunslinger, is probably my favorite series at the moment that I'm reading.
Okay.
I've always liked Westerns, you know, but it's been phenomenal. Until I read this Godzilla versus Thor. That's like probably
Thor,
the best comic I've ever read in my life.
That's new, right?
It just came out, yeah, last week. So okay. I'm a huge Thor fan, if you can't tell. I mean, yeah. A little Batman, Spider-Man, but there's like three Thor things back there, two Thor comics here.
I'm in the way. I can move myself to the side. Hammer. I see Hammer back there.
Oh, yeah. So, yeah, I got the Hammer, Thor stuff. My daughter's favorite's Harley Quinn, so there's a lot of Harley stuff in this room, too. So cool. I think I'm hiding like Harley number one behind here. Nope, that's Battle Beast. But I think even behind that, nope. Somewhere here.
Somewhere there.
Yeah, there. The Harley number one.
Oh, that's dope. That's dope.
There's a Loot Crate Harley. Yeah, she's a huge Harley fan. And I got Battle Beast. That's really good.
Does she actually pick them up and read them? Or she?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's dope.
So she, our funny story, I'll tell it on here. I don't have to edit it out. That's the whole reason we started the show. Our birthdays are 2 days apart. Okay.
Wow.
So hers is, and they're right before Christmas. So wow. I always take those couple days off, you know, my birthday, her birthday, and in between, and we just go do fun stuff. But we ended up this last December, we ended up in a comic book shop and games, and as a game store, comic book shop. So we play a lot of board games too.
Yeah.
And she picked up this comic book. She's like, is this like, why are so many of these things? And I was like, well, they just come out like once a month or whatever. And she's like, well, can I get a couple? I'm like, absolutely. Anything to get her to read. Right. And so I bought her, you know, a handful, 4, 5, 6 comics that day. And she read them all. She's like, can we just like get these all the time? And I'm like, sure. So I found a local store near us, cause we weren't near our house at that point. Yeah. So we found a store and we found, you know, League of Comic Geeks, and we have our pull list, and now we're buying like 20 a week. So
that's awesome.
It's, you know, I get a bunch, she gets a bunch, and we sit here and read them. And, you know, it kind of why we fell in love with it and started this, you know, doing this on the podcast just to, you know, go over those and play fun games and stuff with it. But, you know, it's been and her reading has just gotten so much better just from reading comic books. You know, it's overrated. It's like, I guess underrated would be the right term. You know, I don't care what they're reading, just read. You know, exactly. Kids need to read.
They need to read. And I think comics are they're a great, you know, medium because, you know, it's visual. It keeps your attention, but you're reading, you know. And I think a lot of people take comics for granted or say, oh, it's not real reading. But no, it's reading because, you know, so much you can take away from comics, you know, besides the flashy characters and powers and stuff like that.
Yeah, it's been, you can't argue. I mean, there's no worries with, I don't care. We got hundreds of them. We just read them all. Like, it's reading. Exactly. Reading's reading.
Reading is reading.
But yes, the Thor Godzilla came out last week. Probably one of the best comics I ever read. No, I haven't read a whole lot. I've only read, you know, a few hundred, like maybe 200-300 comics in my life, but that right there was amazing.
Wow.
Yeah. You pick it up. It's only, you know, $4 or $5, whatever. You get a copy of it. It's really good.
If you're
a Thor fan.
Yeah. Okay. I was going to say too, like, I've seen a lot of Godzilla crossovers besides the Thor one. There was one.
They're all doing. I don't know why, but yeah, there's like picked up all like the Marvel ones. I think like Godzilla versus X-Men, and a lot of them were okay. But this one,
that one was.
Oh my god, it was so good.
Oh, okay.
I was like, I have not been. I mean, I've read a bunch of comics. I have a goal of reading one a day this year. So 365 is my goal. I'm a little bit ahead. I think I'm at like 190 right now for this year. What?
I said, I got to get like you. I'm so locked into my own work that it's hard for me to just pick up a book. Like, I have my own collection, like, on my table. And I've got more in my closet. I was reading a little bit of some Frank Miller stuff. You know, Batman Year One. Okay. I just sometimes read, like, older stuff. But
yeah. Yeah, we have some older stuff too, and I'm trying to get to that. but we're getting so many polls at the moment. I'm trying to keep up with all my polls, reading all those. I'm a little bit behind. I got a box on my, under my desk here that's like I grab five or six a night and read.
Do you have a shop too?
Locally, we do. I don't own a shop. I used to own a game store. So like a board game, card game type store. So I've always been nerdy, you know, like that for years. And I turned my publishing into a game store. And then I ended up selling the game store when I got into golf stuff with my daughter. But I've been wanting to get back in. And that's another reason for this podcast is I needed to fill that itch, that creative owning your own thing kind of itch again. Because I'm very entrepreneurial. And this podcast is kind of filling that, which is nice. So I'm really putting a lot of effort into this podcast, you know, doing two episodes a week or so or more, or trying to putting reels out and TikTok and Instagram and all that stuff. And just trying to just put the effort in. I don't know if you know who Gary Vee is. You ever heard of Gary Vee?
Yeah, Gary Vee. I know.
I listen to all his stuff and I love his motivation. And, you know, he's like, just jump, just do it. Just, you know, like he put a post today that I saw. It's like half the year's over, but you still got a half a year of opportunity.
Exactly.
You know what I'm saying?
It's the mindset.
Right. So I'm all about the, and that's what I love about doing these interviews, you know, with people is we're all in this together. You know what I'm saying? Like, yes, I'm small right now. I'm, you know, got what, 30 followers or whatever, you know, whatever it is. But it's like, we're all here to help each other. And if I can help one person read a comic book or get into something or sell a book or, you know, that's all I care. Just expanding the community and, you know, helping each other and having a good time with my daughter too, you know, with the other episodes, you know, so that's what it's all about for me. You know,
that's great. And that's
we kind of got derailed, which is okay, but it's great conversation. But I got a lot more questions for you.
Okay.
What, back to your comic, is there any Easter eggs in your books? Do you hide anything in there or anything you're willing to share?
Well, I do have, it's actually a nod to Superman in one of the pages of my first graphic novel. Well, it's technically in the other versions too, because some of the same, you know, same book, just smaller issues. Do have like a, it's like a tiny poster. It's very, very, you can't really see it. It's kind of hidden. But it's like a poster referencing like Superman in the book. I don't have it right now. But
yeah, you're sold out. That's a good problem to have.
Yeah. And
do you how many do you usually keep on hand?
Usually just on hand for myself, I probably have at least like five on hand. I don't have any. So I had a con and I took those additional ones with me on that con and I sold out. I went to MomoCon. That was like the first big con that I had ever done and completely sold out. And I had my other too. So All-Star is my first character, but I have another character. His name is Wolf Shinobi. He is a werewolf ninja. So,
okay.
Yeah.
I'm intrigued.
It's something I've always wanted to do, and I never seen anything like that in media. So I was like, all right, let's try that. I want to do that. And that character is pretty cool. He's like I said, he's a werewolf ninja, but the thing is, his father was the werewolf and his mother was a ninja. So his father fell in love with his mother and it was like a, you know, Romeo and Juliet type of situation. He sailed from, you know, his village. They casted him out after they found out that he was this monster. But he's just a man searching for peace. He was cursed, but he's just like, he's a guy that's like, I just want peace, you know? So he sails to Japan. And gets there, and he meets this clan of ninjas. And he, in exchange for some goods and different things like that, they allow him to stay. But during his stay, he falls in love with one of the locals, and she's a ninja too. But eventually, they find out that they're in love, and obviously, you know, a foreigner shouldn't be, you know, in love with, you know, one of their locals. And they also find out that he's a werewolf because there's something that happens during the course of the story, and he has to protect the woman that he loves, and he transforms, and they're like, yeah, no, he's got to go. We got he can't, like, we don't know what he could do to us, or, you know, if he curses, like, he gives his curse to us or whatever. So years later, you know, she finds out, well, a little later, she finds out she's pregnant with his child, and that child is the main character of the story. And she's a highly trained, you know, ninja. She trains the son, but the son finds out that he has those same abilities that his father has. And so that character, he's like the main character, but he's a immortal, you know, ninja because of his werewolf abilities. And he's like in Japan, but kind of like off in the shadows, like a urban legend, like the wolf shinobi. He's like a urban legend, like people, you know, tell stories about, you know, the wolf ninja. Oh, he'll come to get you. But he's like, you know, in the shadows, and he takes down like the criminal underworld and the Yakuza and different things like that. And so you can imagine, like, imagine Batman, you know, with the silent takedowns and the, you know, the martial arts skills, but with, you know, fangs, night vision, super strength, speed, enhanced senses and smells and different things like that, with all of the, you know, traditional werewolf tropes. You know, he, you know, transforms. Now, I will say he doesn't transform during a full moon, because he's mastered his transformations because of the meditation of being a ninja. Like, he, you know, he's his body and his mind are, you know, sharp because of the training that he's, you know, been put through. And so he's kind of got control over it, but if you get him pissed off, he'll go berserk. It's crazy.
What's the title of that book?
It's just Wolf Shinobi, or the Legend of the Wolf Shinobi.
And is that out now, or?
Yeah, it's out. It's okay. Out now, but it's in the same universe as All Star. So All Star and Wolf Shinobi, they'll be crossing paths pretty soon. But yeah, he's kind of like All Star is more of that. You know, he's a justice-based character, hopeful character, but Wolf Shinobi, I would say he's more along the lines of an anti-hero. He wouldn't hesitate to kill you because, you know, he's a ninja. But he's also, like I said, an anti-hero. He fights against, you know, evil, you know, crime, the supernatural, but he'll kill you. So that's the difference between, you know, those two characters.
Where'd you could find the inspiration for him?
So, Wolf Shinobi, I just love werewolves. I love them so much. And I'm like, they're just so underrated. And I think, you know, you could tell a really interesting story. And I haven't really seen a lot of great stories with werewolves. And I was just thinking to myself, like, werewolves are like, having lycanthropy is like a superpower. But in most iterations of werewolves, it's seen as like a curse. And they're just like monsters. But I was like, the Hulk, he transforms all the time. He's a monster, but they don't really, a lot of people don't really always see him as a monster. Some people see him as a superhero, or, you know, oftentimes an anti-hero because he's, you know, destroying stuff too. But he's usually promoted as a superhero who's, you know, who just so happens to be a monster. So I was like, what if I did the same thing, but with the werewolf, you know, trope? And then I like ninjas. So I was like,
who doesn't love a ninja?
Yeah, so I was like, that would be very interesting to see a werewolf ninja. That just, and I haven't seen anything like that in media. Now, granted, there is Blade, you know, Blade is a vampire, you know, but he doesn't call himself a ninja. He's just like really, you know, martial artist, you know, vampire hunter. But I've always liked werewolves more than I liked vampires, because werewolves, they kind of have this sense of, like, you know, suffering and tragedy about them. Vampires do too, but it's like, you know, that beast within, you know, not oftentimes, you know, werewolves are just like regular people that are cursed, and they're battling that, you know, that beast that's inside them, you know, and that is what I wanted to put in the story. So with my character, he meditates, but, you know, he's still struggling with that, and that internal, you know, primal urge, you know, with him being werewolf. So I was like, that'd be pretty cool to see. So
that's interesting. Which one's your favorite, All-Star?
Well, I feel like I identify more with All-Star, but it's like asking the question, who's your favorite child? Like, that's like, yeah, I don't know. Like, you can't say.
Okay. Touche.
Yeah.
Exactly. All right, like, you got me on that one. Fine, I'll mark that question off. How do you approach the world building in these stories?
Like, so world building, I kind of just like let the world grow naturally with the characters. So there's the center of attention, which is the main character, and then the side characters that help grow the world. But from the way that the world operates in my universe, mind you, I do have other people that have their own stories that are part of Radical, but they're self-contained, so they're like in their own universes. But my universe, the way that I have it, is it's a direct reflection of our reality, but there are, you know, supernatural elements, you know, superhuman, but All-Star is the first superhero. So for the most part, everything is pretty grounded. But, you know, once he comes onto the scene, then it's like almost like this shift happens where it's like there's, you know, different types of beings and characters coming out of the woodwork because of his very existence. If you think about the MCU, you know, like when Iron Man, I think there was something that Vision said in one of the Avengers movies where, you know, their existence invites catastrophe or something like that. Like just the idea of a superhero, there's going to be an equal and opposite, you know, reaction, which you get supervillains. So that's kind of how the world works. Because he's around, you have all of these other characters that just like pop up, you know. But it's basically a reflection of our reality. And but there are things that are also unexplainable. You know, like I would say, like in my universe, magic is basically science is unexplained. I've seen that before and heard that before, and I wanted to stick with that trope, like because there are certain things in our reality right now that are unexplained, that, you know, that we just can't explain. So it's like I can just keep that and put that into my world and kind of base things off of that. And I also try to pull a lot of science, like even with my character's powers, like All-Star. I wanted to put a little science into it, like with his powers, because his powers come from the stars. And they say that human beings, we have the same elements within us that the stars do, that we're made of stardust. That's what scientists say. So I applied all of the knowledge that I know, like the stars can do. They go supernova, so he can go supernova. You know, the core of a star is 10 billion times denser than steel. So that applies to his physical, you know, body and like his muscles and his bones. So I try to, you know, put all of that science in there. Now with Wolf Shinobi, my excuse with him is that he's a magical character, but like I said, magic is unexplained science. So there's something going on with his powers and his existence, but we just don't know what it is. It's because it's magic that's unexplained, or science that's unexplained.
Right. I like that. So on the science, so are aliens real or not real?
Well,
in your opinion.
In my opinion, just in general. I would say most definitely it has to be some. I would think we kind of have this as human beings. We kind of have this, like, you know, this delusion of grandeur of like us being the center of the universe. Know, and I've seen videos too of the government saying that we're not the only ones that exist too. So I believe that there's some other form of existence out there that isn't, you know, us. Has to be.
I agree. I've been on this kick lately because I took a trip out west, and my daughters and I are, you know, had this huge discussion about, you know, aliens and technology and stuff. So it's just funny to, when you mentioned that about like the quote Vision or said in the movie, because I know what you're talking about. It's uh-huh. Like, you know, in the alien world, like, you know, the whatever you want to call it, the theory of aliens, you know, uh-huh. When did they start showing up? Well, it was right after we tested the atomic bomb.
Mm.
Right? So we test the atomic bomb, and then months later, there's a crash in Roswell. Coincidence?
I think not.
I think not. Trying to start a podcast but feeling stuck? At Aquatio, we help creators make waves with everything you need to bring your voice to life. Hosting, recording, editing, and marketing. Whether you're starting from scratch or just need a little help polishing your sound, we're here to hydropower your creativity. Comment on this video or DM us today and let's dive in. So you mentioned Frank Miller and other like inspiration, you know. So if you had a dream collaborator, like that you could collab with, who would it be?
Oh, dream collaborator. You know what? I left out Jack Kirby. He's one of my biggest inspirations. Jack King Kirby. I think I would love to do some Jack.
Yeah, I think this whole book is all Jack Kirby art and Stan Lee.
Yeah. But Jack, obviously it's a different time period. Wait, totally different. That was way before my time. Before my mom, my dad.
That's before my time, too. I'm not that old.
Way before our time. I would have loved to have met Jack or, like, you know, done something with him. I like Alan Moore. Alan Moore's pretty cool. I love his work on The Watchmen. I think that'd be pretty cool.
And Watchmen was so good.
Yeah. I love Alan Moore. He's also one of my inspirations. All of the guys I've named are my inspirations. Yeah, Grant Morrison. Grant Morrison's pretty good. Like his work on All-Star Superman and other stuff.
So I was scrolling your TikTok, trying just to learn some stuff about you. And one of the videos I came across was the painting of All-Star you did on the building in Montgomery.
Yeah.
Like that was really cool because like the story, like your interview that you did and you mentioned, you know, giving people of Montgomery a superhero to look up to and, you know, go into like, you know, what advice would you give to like aspiring artists or creators or just life in general?
Don't wait on anybody to tell you when to do something. Grab life by the throat and do it. Like, make those connections too, because I won't just say, you know, do, but you, it's action, you know. It's like, all right, so you want to do something, go out there, find the spaces in your area that people, you know, that people are doing art, share your work, make those connections, make those friendships. Because with the building where I painted, I was also in the art space in my community because of where I worked at, but also because I just put myself out there. Made a friend who's also another local artist, Anthony Thomas, and he does a lot of great paintings and stuff like that. And that was his building. And just based off of, you know, me building that relationship with him and just being in that space, he was willing to let me use his wall space to do the mural. And you know, it was like, yeah, we could do it. And he helped. He did like the backdrop of All-Star. And basically the backdrop of All-Star is the city of Montgomery. But I did All-Star. Like I did the penciled sketch and I also painted them. But basically it was a combined effort with the mural. But he let me use his wall. But I would say to people who are just young aspiring artists, just like, you know, just take the initiative. Don't let, you know, sometimes your family or even older people will try to discourage you from doing what you love. Do it anyways, because you don't want to regret it in the future. You don't want to regret not taking that action, but you want to do anything that you can. You want to exhaust everything in you to make sure that the thing that you want to do happens. And that's kind of what I did. Like I emailed the news station. I thought about it, every single thing that I could possibly do to make what I needed to happen. And I did it.
I mean, it's a great advice. And, you know, it goes for anybody at any age and any level, any aspiring to do anything. Right. Yeah. You know, just like creating a podcast, creating artwork, creating, you know, whatever you want to create, you do you, you know, and
exactly.
Don't take no for an answer. And I mean, that's how we met. just scrolling TikTok and sent a message. Hey, wouldn't want to be a guest? You know, you just never know who, you know, you meet and, you know, have awesome conversations with. That's, this podcast fills that entrepreneurial itch, but now it's also filling that extroverted itch, you know, to talk to people all the time, right? So I love that. What is something that we haven't talked about that you'd want to cover or talk about? Now we'll add your, we'll talk about where to get your books at the end, but.
Okay. Yeah. I was going to say that. That was probably.
Other than where to get your stuff, and we'll put links and all that in descriptions and stuff. So.
I don't really have anything else. Okay. I think you've done a great job at, like, asking.
Thank you. Well, I got more. So I also have. No, so I also do, like, I have just some fun questions. So, like, a rapid fire kind of fun stuff, right?
Awesome.
I used to do it. I did it. I started in the doing them in the beginning.
Yeah.
But I was told I should wait till the end to do them. So it's now I'm doing them at the end. But I still haven't figured out my transition to those yet. But because I like asking, the worst thing I want to happen, or what I, you know, don't want to happen, is you wanted to say something that we didn't cover, right? So I want to give everybody an opportunity. Oh, like, I really wish I would have said this, or, you know, I really want to cover this, but he didn't ask me, you know? So I want to give people the opportunity. Hey, what's something that we didn't cover? You know, and if we covered it, great. If not, here's your time, right? But all right, so you get some rapid fire, not really rapid fire, it's just fun questions. I think I already know the answer to this one, but who is your first favorite superhero or comic character?
Spider-Man.
I knew it. I knew it was going to be Spider-Man. Do you remember the first comic book you ever read?
First comic book I've ever read. It was an Avengers comic. It was, I think it had Ultron in it. I can't remember the exact issue, but it was like, they were looking for Spider-Woman. She was kidnapped by some villains, and the Avengers, they were all talking, I think, in Avengers Tower or something. And it was a mix of different characters. Wolverine, he was in the Avengers. Spider-Man, Iron Man, Thor was in it. I can't remember the exact book, but I remember it vividly when I was a kid. I read it.
Awesome. If you could live in any comic book universe, which one would it be?
Definitely not Gotham.
Everybody, I love that answer. Everybody's like, well, I ain't living in Gotham. I'm not living in Marvel. I'm not living, you know. I did one the other day about this guy wrote a graphic novel on a high school that was just, instead of like all the cliques, were like different like gangs. Mm-hmm. And like, it was like literally murder high school. And I was like, yeah, I'm definitely not living in your universe.
Yeah, no, that's a no brainer. I think probably Central City, because the Flash, he'll take care of it really quickly.
Okay. I like that. If you could have any superpower, what would it be? What would you choose?
There's so many to choose from. So with my drawing ability, I think it'd be really cool if I could draw things into existence, like Reality Warper. Like, ooh. I draw whatever I want, and then it just, like, comes to reality.
It's a new answer.
Yeah, yeah.
That's pretty cool. I like that. All right, which comic book character, could be any character, it doesn't have to be a sidekick, it could be a main character or a sidekick, but which character would you want to be your sidekick?
Which character would I want to be my sidekick? And they could be a hero or a sidekick.
Yep. Or anybody. I mean, be anybody, but a comic book character. You could pick All-Star if you wanted.
Yeah, I could pick All-Star. You know what? Let's go with that. I'll pick All-Star.
What's the werewolf's name?
Wolf Shinobi.
Yeah. Could have been him, too.
It could be him too. I think, and also with his name too, like you could say, like Wolf Shinobi. Shinobi is basically ninja in Japanese. Yeah.
Okay.
Wolf Shinobi, Wolf Ninja is kind of interchangeable, but yeah, I think, I don't know. Like, if we're fighting villains, I think All-Star because he's, I don't know, he could fly me. He could fly me away from the, you know, from the battlefield.
Okay, so All-Star can fly.
Yeah, All-Star can fly.
All right.
Fly me away. Yeah.
And I love this last question. So if your life were a comic book, what would the title be?
Ronnie's Tales of Unfortunate Events.
No, we've not covered any unfortunate events in this whole podcast. Like, now you got to give an example.
No, you know, my car stopping on me, you know.
Okay.
Just stuff like that. No. My account being in the negative from a subscription or something like that. I don't know. Just stupid stuff.
The normal young person problems to have. Yeah. Gotcha. I was there. I know all about it. My daughters are there. So, you know, I get it.
You know, yeah.
So, yep, I get it. So, yeah, the real world problems. But, all right, so let's say 10 years from now when things, you know, you're a best-selling comic book author and illustrator. Money's not, you know, you're not living paycheck to paycheck. You know, what would be the title of your life then? Comic life.
Let's see. Ronnie's the legend of Ronnie Creates. I think that'd be very simple.
That's a great one. That could be titled now too.
Exactly.
I mean, you've done a great, you know, you're young, but you've done a lot. You've got a publishing company. How many books have you published?
So
are you publishing just your own, or you got other people that you're helping too? Or
so they're. I'm also helping them publish. They're using the publication Radical Comics as their, you know, publication. But just counting mine, I have like total of what, four or five books, and they have their own. I can't even tell you how many books those other guys have been producing. But they've produced some guys have produced outside of Radical, but then joined Radical, and now they have the label. So
well, hopefully they're helping you. Pay a subscription so your account's not in the negative.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. But I would say we're more of a collective than anything, but I'm trying to work on it to where it's a legitimate like company. So we're all young guys just trying to create and make names for ourselves, but at some point we want to get it to where we can have stable income with our publishing. So
it's like we talked about earlier, you know, we're all in this together, you know, young, old, in between, doesn't matter, you know, we're here to help each other, right?
Exactly.
That's, you know, my belief. And so on that note, where can people find your books? Where can they go get them?
So you can check me out on Radical Comics, but you spell Radical with a K, so radicalcomicswithak.com. easy find. And you can also find me on Global Comics. If you type in Radical Comics, we have our own section with all of our books. Some of my books are even free on there. So if you want to read the digital copies of those books for free.
I started reading one of them, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So you kind of check those out.
Not a digital reader. I do it when I have to like prepare for this.
Better, yeah.
I want the book. I, you know, the graphic novel, whatever. I want it in my hands.
I'm with you too. It's like you can read it, but something about opening the book, seeing the artwork, owning the artwork, you know, it's
right.
Very, you know, and you see everything up close and personal, and it's great. And smelling the book when you first open it, it's just something about getting a new comic.
Of course, yeah, the ink is amazing. So what about social? I know you're on TikTok, obviously. It seems like you do really well on there. I open it now and that's all I see is your videos, which are really good. So
I appreciate it. Yeah. So I'm on TikTok. I'm on Instagram. My Instagram is Ronnie Creates. So RONNY Creates. And you also can check us out, Radical Comics, on Instagram. And yeah, that's where we're at.
Awesome. Well, I really appreciate you being on with me and hanging out and talking about comics and your comics. And
appreciate you having me on.